You know, I was going to share a little bit. Wednesday night, Celebrate Recovery. For those of you who don't attend, every now and again, I like to just give you little nuggets here and there. But we watched a video last week, and it was very powerful. Just this woman's story was amazing. You know, where she came from and where God took her to. But the stories that you are telling me, you know, that we're hearing this morning, and just giving glory to God and talking about things that He did for us last year, you know, these stories tell me something that really blesses me as a pastor. Because this woman, when she started the video that we watched on Wednesday night, she talked about growing up in a family that attended church, but church had no effect on the family. They were church attenders, they were church goers, but they didn't have any relationship with Jesus Christ, and there was really no impact in their life. And that's why I really enjoy hearing testimonies, hearing people talk about what God's doing in your life, because it tells me that you're more than just church attenders. You're more than just people that show up on Sunday morning, you disappear, and you go about your week without having been impacted in any way. And so that blesses me. And then I take notes usually and I got a lot of stuff that I could talk about just on that video, but I just want to touch a few things. Because this new year, you know, as I mentioned before, and some of you already talked about too, 2015 was a very difficult year. And when we start out in a new year, you know, it's just another day, really. But for some reason, around New Year's, we get this anticipation about the year coming up. What's it going to be like? And we get excited, and we're hoping for the best. And I really do hope it's much better than the last year that we've experienced. Although, as Laura had mentioned, you know, a lot of times through those tragedies, we find our deepest love. We learn the deepest, you know, most powerful lessons in our lives. And God does the most work when it hurts the most, right? And so, you know, but what happens? We're hoping that 2016 will be just wonderful and awesome, but what if it's worse? Well, it got real quiet. We don't know what's ahead. But you know what? We can trust that Jesus will be with us all the way through. I hope it's greater. I hope this is the year that He shows up in the sky and He calls us all home. I don't want to die and be buried in the ground. I want to be resurrected and lifted up like He was. I want to ascend. I want to be like last year. Remember when I talked about my shoes left on the side of the highway? My mother-in-law drove by and said, it looked like somebody was raptured right out of those shoes on the side of the road. And they were my shoes. I hope perhaps this year somebody else finds my shoes, but I'm no longer here. Amen? But anyway, but it could be worse. And you know what? Whether your situation, your circumstance is better or worse, it really has a lot to do with something that this woman spoke about in Wednesday's video. She said that her own thoughts were her biggest enemy. And a lot of times, that's the way it is with us. We'll see something coming down the pike or something will happen to us, and our own thoughts will drive us into depression and drive us into, you know, a lack of faith. And it'll cause us to have misery and pain and all this strife in our minds. And so this year, as we go forward, I want you to think about the thoughts that you think. Be aware of what goes on in here. Because what goes on in here can either destroy you and eat you up and just tear you apart, or what goes on in there can build you up and help you have faith no matter what comes our way in 2016. She got to a place in her life where she chose to believe God about love and forgiveness. And that is the thing I want to encourage each and every one of us as we go forward this coming year. Choose to believe God. Whatever the circumstance is, there will be good times. There will be bad times. But regardless, we need to choose to believe God no matter what and follow Him. Amen. I want to give you a real quick sermon just talking about the new year, because a lot of people make changes. My wife and I are well, at least for me, and I believe my wife's on board, and I hope Cruz is on board, because unfortunately he's caught in the middle of it. But our motto for 2016, it's lean and get lean in 2016. That's our motto. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. But I believe we can do it. And so anyway, a lot of change takes place. I mean, our idea is, okay, we're going to do our best to change. We're going to do our best to lose some weight. Other people have different things that they, you know, perhaps are looking forward to, or different things. You know, maybe you're one who wants to quit smoking this year. Maybe you're one who wants to quit something else. Or maybe you want to start something positive in your life, or what have you. But there's always change. And I want to talk about something that is the founding of our faith, and a change that took place in Abraham's life. And you'll find it in Genesis chapter 12, in the first three verses. This particular portion of Scripture, it really is the beginning of the demonstration of faith in God through Abraham. And it says this, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, for what you can show us with the life of Abraham and how his faith was demonstrated. And I pray, God, that as we talk about what Abraham did just briefly here this morning, that we will also be inspired to get out and to go. Lord, bless each one here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here we have Abraham. His name is Abram at the time. Hadn't been changed yet, but a big change. God comes up and God shows up and says, "Hey, you need to get out of this place where you are and go somewhere else. Go to a place where I show you." Now, we have to have ears that hear, don't we? Ears that hear, eyes that see, hearts that believe, in order to just leave where the place where we're at, and to go someplace we don't even know where. And I want to talk about this in the context of our faith in God, our walk with Christ, our conversion from sinner to saint, where we all were born sinners, and yet Jesus calls to us and he says, "Get out of that and come to where I'll show you." How many of us knew when we started seeking Jesus Christ, how many of us knew where he was going to take us? Did anybody really know? I didn't have a clue. I expect probably most people here had no idea. The moment you decide, you know what, I think I want to follow Jesus Christ, we don't know where he's going. We had to do just like Abraham and take a step of faith and just, okay, God, I'm just gonna go there. Wherever it is you lead me, that's where I'll go. Is that a prayer that you pray often? I would ask you, every now and again, just take a step back and call out to God and say, "Hey, am I where I'm supposed to be?" And I'm not talking physically. You know, I mean, we have houses, we live here, we live there. And you know what? For some, maybe that's part of it too. Maybe we shouldn't even be in Geneva. Maybe, you know, the wolf's for 10 years. Where should I be? Well, that's that old, you know, that guy on the island story. I prayed, God, and he said, "Well, I sent you a boat. Well, there's a church right there. You've driven by it for 10 years. But am I where I'm supposed to be? Where you want me to be, God? Physically, spiritually, whatever the case may be. You know, when Troy mentioned, he goes, he felt like a family without a church, and the first thing that came to my mind was, it'd be terrible to be a church without a family. That'd be awful. And so I appreciate the wolves, and I appreciate all you other families that come here and to fellowship here and make this the family that it is, the church that it is. But you know what? I want to know, is this where I'm supposed to be? And I believe the answer is yes. And I'm trusting the answer is yes for all of you. And I trust the answer is yes for a whole lot more people. I'm wondering where the other people are that are supposed to be here. Because, and I know that there are some. But I want to know, am I where you want me to be, God? Am I doing what you want me to do, God? Have I followed the path that you have led me down, God? And for most of us, when it comes to our spiritual well-being, hopefully we did what God told Abraham to do, and we left all of the old behind, and we've gone someplace completely new, never going back to visit that sinful place again. So what's the new year got for you? What change does God want you to make? Let me ask you this. Have you even considered the idea that maybe God wants to make some changes in your life this coming year? God, what do you want to change? You want to change my attitude? You want to change my job? I know some people, they're changing jobs this year. That's exciting, I hope. even though sometimes changing jobs can create a little bit of anxiety because you got to get used to new people. You're not really sure about what you're going to be required of you and all those kinds of things. You hope the pay is going to be enough, all that stuff. But God, what do you want to change in me? Do I still have a sinful habit that needs to stop? Do I still have sinful thoughts that need to go away? Do I still have, something, Lord, that you want me to leave behind in order to get to the place where you want to bring me? Because I hope that's your desire, is to get to the place where God wants to bring you. Let's take another look at Abram in Hebrews chapter 11. Was already mentioned, it's the faith chapter. Starting in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country." Now, isn't that interesting? I found it very interesting. First of all, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. And one of the things that I know many people struggle with is hearing God's voice. How do you obey a God that you can't hear? Right? Isn't that kind of difficult? If I don't hear God talking to me, how am I going to be able to obey him? And I try to explain it and describe it like this. For me, I don't hear God audibly. I believe perhaps Abraham might have heard God audibly. But, today I don't know very many people. I know I've heard of a few testimonies where people say, yeah, I heard God, I heard his voice. I heard a voice tell me. And for me, I don't hear audible voices. But what I get, I hear something in my heart. It's like a knowing. It's like he just puts it in there and you just know. Wow, that's God speaking to me. And so if you hear him, it's important that we obey him. And just like Abraham, there are times when he's going to call us and he's going to speak to us and he's going to want us to go someplace where we don't even know where we're going. It takes a lot of faith to step out and to go someplace where you don't even know where you're going. That's what it says there. It said at the end of verse 8 there, he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of us, the moment that we decide, I'm gonna choose to follow Jesus Christ, did you know where you were going? Most likely not. But you grow in grace and knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. And it said he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. I hope that you have found in your conversion the land of promise. The promises that God bestowed upon the church, they're all ours. They're yours, they're mine. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, we can trust him to fulfill promises to us, can't we? And I hope that's what your experience has been. But I want to encourage you, there are more steps of faith to take. You know, Abram, when he left the land of his fathers and he went to the land of Canaan, he never stopped moving. You go back and you read the account. He went from this tent village to that tent village. He went down to Egypt for a while. He came back. He moved here and he moved there. As he grew, his people, his surroundings grew. The people that were with him grew. His herds grew. Everything around him grew. And I hope that we have an experience with God where the stuff that, as we move forward in God and we keep moving where God takes us, that we find growth in ourselves as well. Spiritual growth. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We did a lot of preaching on that verse a few weeks or months ago, whenever it was we talked about that verse. But the idea is very similar to what God had called Abram to do. Leave everything behind and follow me. Go to the place where I want you to go. And I want to look at one more portion of Scripture because I'm about out of time. And that's okay because I wanted to hear you guys' testimonies. Mark chapter 10. Again, very similar to Abraham's experience. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 17. It's about the rich young ruler. We've talked about this many times. Now as he was going out, verse 17, on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now, I want you to understand something. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to have an answer for this. When somebody comes to us and say, "Hey, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" If you struggle with that, I just happen to have some things here to help you with that. I think I've got more here. I think there's some on the back table as well. And this is just a very simple Romans road, you know, scriptures that are found in the book of Romans that will lead a sinner to Jesus Christ, that it will explain salvation to them. And if you need a copy of that to keep in your purse or your wallet, we've got plenty of them. And I hand them out at the jail, and they love them. They all want, "Oh, yeah, it helps me understand." We have to have an answer for people that come calling. What must I do to be saved? How do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered, verse 20, and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And you know, it's interesting, his answer. "All these things I've kept from my youth." And I've been good my whole life. Most people who haven't yet committed their lives to follow Jesus Christ, most of them believe they're good enough to get in. Most of them believe, "You know what, I'm a good person." And you know what, a lot of them in our eyes, we would consider, you know what, they're pretty good people, aren't they? They're kind to their neighbors, they help out. Some of them, you know what, I've found some of the roughest characters that I run into are some of the most soft-hearted kind of people. You know, I hang out with all kinds of people. You get together with a big, rough, biker gang, dude-type people, and I'll tell you what, like, they'll do anything to help you. They find you on the side of the road, they'll pick your car up and carry it to the garage for you. I mean, they're just...
It's true.
But, you know, most people are... They generally think they're good enough or feel they're... You know, they're... And most people generally have good qualities. And so the guy says, "Yeah, I've done that since I was a kid." And Jesus says, "There's one thing." It said, verse 21, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him... Now, again, when people come to us, we need to have an answer for them, but we also have to have love for them. It says in verse 21 there, Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross, follow me." You see, just like God called Abram and said, Abram, I want you to leave the place you're at and go to the place where I'm going. Leave it all behind. Jesus was saying to this guy, he said, you know what? Sell everything you got, leave it all behind, and follow me. In verse 22, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And you know, this is talking about a story of someone who was obviously wealthy. He had a lot of stuff that he didn't want to get rid of. Spiritually speaking, unfortunately, a lot of people, when they come to Christ, they don't want to leave the stuff behind. They want to keep the things in their life. They want to keep the sin in their life. And people struggle turning to the Lord because, you know what, if I turn to God, that means I got to give up the alcohol. It means I got to give up the drugs. It means I got to give up the whatever else. All these things that are sinful, these things that are pulling you down. People struggle getting rid of the stuff, just getting rid of it and following Christ. And for some of us, it's a lot of stuff. It says this guy had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle then for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Now, I find that very interesting that the disciples said, well, who can be saved then? You know, Jesus made a comment. He said that it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, but the disciples says, well, then who can be saved? Well, none of them were rich. What were they thinking? So there must be something more to that story than just rich people. It's not about whether you're rich or whether you're poor, wealthy-wise, money-wise, financial-wise. It's whether or not you'll follow Jesus no matter what. And so they were greatly astonished. Who would be saved? Verse 27, but Jesus looked at them and said, which with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I want you to say this with me. All things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. In other words, and you know, in the context of what this is saying, is that everyone can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? All things are possible with God. Then Peter began to say, see, we have left all and followed you, just like Abram. Peter says, you know what? We left it all and we followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Now, that portion of Scripture has always kind of made me wonder and bothered me a little bit. It says that anyone who has left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father or mother, wife or children or lands. And I always thought, you know, what's that talking about? I mean, who would really think positively of a father who just up and left, right? And so I'm thinking, God, what's that talking about? And really, I believe what that's talking about is just like Abraham, and I'm talking spiritually speaking, even if your children won't follow Christ, even if your brothers and sisters won't follow Christ, even if your mother and father won't follow Christ, you better follow Christ. You better leave whatever their thinking is behind, and you follow Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not condoning anyone leave their wife or leave their children or leave the city, but you know what? Spiritually speaking, we need to follow Jesus, whether they will come with us or not. And be that example. Be that example of faith in Jesus Christ. Be that example of faith in God. Same as Abram left everything behind and went to where God took him. Same as Peter said, God, we left everything for you. And same as Jesus said of this young man, you know what? If you would just get rid of it all and follow me, you'll have eternal life. Those who want to save their life will lose it, but those who lose it for my sake will what? Find it. This coming year, it's a brand new year. I hope this is the year that Jesus returns. That's our hope. It's what they call in the Assemblies of God the blessed hope, the day that Jesus appears in the sky and the church is raptured. I'm looking forward to that. I hope it's in 2016, but I hope that everybody sitting here is prepared for that day. And if you need to make changes in this coming year, if you need to make New Year's resolutions, make it resolutions that'll draw you closer to God. If there's something in your life you need to leave behind in order to go find Him, then by all means, leave it. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. You know, I think of my own experience. In 1983, when I decided to follow Jesus Christ, there were friends of mine that didn't understand it. I had relatives that didn't understand it. What are you doing? And to be honest with you, back in that moment, I'm pretty sure my answer kind of was, you know, I'm really not sure. I'm not sure where I'm going, but I know I'm headed in the right direction. I'm headed toward God. And after 30 plus years of following Jesus Christ, I know I made the right decision. And I pray that even for myself in this next coming year, if there's anything in me that I need to put down, anything in me that needs to stop, anything I need to put to leave behind in order to get closer to God, to be in the place where He wants me to be, to go where He wants me to go, to say what He wants me to say, that He would reveal it to me so that I could do just like Abraham and leave it all behind, even if I don't know where I'm going. Trust the Lord and go there. Amen. I hope that's what you want to do as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this up and coming year. I thank You for each and every person that is standing here in this place who came here, God, to find You, to worship You. And I pray, Lord, that as we turn our hearts towards You, we focus our minds upon You, that we would hear Your voice, that we would receive Your direction, and Lord, that we would not let anything of this world hold us back from going where You call us. And so, God, bless each one here today with truly a happy new year, with new roads to follow. Lord, with great blessing of eternity out in front of us, may we achieve what it is that You desire for us to achieve. Bless each home, each family, and each one here, Jesus, with the love and the grace of our God and Father. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Again, be praying for you know, myself, my family, and others who are struggling. Be praying for this young couple that's going to get married here Saturday. And we'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock to continue our study with Externally Focused Church. God bless you. Have a great day.